right now, we will talk to all of you out there. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays fall 6-4 in New York against the Yankees. And as we've mentioned, they've lost 17 in a row to the Yankees. Mark Burley, his shortest outing in over 4 years. The last time he didn't throw a pitch in the fourth inning was June 6, 2010. He gave up 6 runs on 9 hits in 3 innings to take the loss. His career now against the Yankees, he is 1-12 with an ERA of 6.15 and a whip of 1.58 in 19 starts. Let's get to the phones. We begin with Rick in Mimico, listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Rick, you're the leadoff man on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, longtime listener, first-time caller.
All right, welcome aboard.
I want to say that it's kind of tough to lose today, but it's good that the Jays have won their last 2 series, even though dropping the first game.
Yep.
It's kind of tough to see Ichiro hit that home run, I got to say.
Well, you know what? I mean, it is. It really is, and the stadium is a joke, and we all know that. But the Blue Jays did have 8 left-handed hitters in the lineup today, and not one of them could hit a pop-up to right field that got out of the ballpark.
You know, I got a bone to pick, though. I feel like Aaron Sabia hasn't really got a good rep in Toronto, and he was a big home run hitter, and I think we need that right now. And you know what? Navarro, 6 home runs, that's not going to cut it.
Yeah, but they've got Aaron Sabia in Juan Francisco. He's basically the same guy. Deonner Navarro has 6 home runs, but the overall, I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah,
to
but
how
Juan
much
Francisco
more he's able to
is,
produce than Aaron Sabia.
He has limited defensive potential, and
so
if you
Aaron
have a
Sabia.
Home run hitter and a catcher, like how often does that come?
Yeah, but
it's a
all he but he was a catcher.
Home runs,
he was a catcher in name only, Rick. I mean, you talk about Francisco having limited defensive potential, and you talk about Aaron Sabia.
You know, I think Francisco got lucky. He's got more runs than he should.
Yep.
And, you know, it's something that's not going to last. He's been in the MLB for a long time. And, he got the short end of the stick, and I'm not happy with that.
Okay. You'll have to explain to me how he got the short end of the stick. Because last year he had one of the 5 worst offensive seasons in the history of Major League Baseball.
You know what? He can hit home runs, and that's all that matters. We're in the Sky Dome here, so hit a home run, and that's all I want to see.
All right. I mean, sure. If you'll take 20 home runs and 200 strikeouts and an on-base percentage under 200, then that's what you'll take. I think that in order to win baseball games, you need a lot better than that. Matt in Bakersfield, California, listening on Sportsnet590.ca, becoming a regular from the West Coast, which is kind of neat. Go ahead, Matt.
Always watch every game, Mike. Listen to every post game. Listen to every Blue Jays talk, all that. The only thing I can't do is listen to the pregame unless it's like a weekday afternoon. Anyways, I want to say a couple things today. One is I didn't get that move by Gibbons with the pinch hit. I even tweeted it to you. In the 7th inning for Kawasaki, he wasted a bench player. It wasn't even a good spot to pinch it. 2 out, nobody on, didn't get it. I'd like to understand it, but I don't.
He did it because it was his only shot at a lefty, and he knew that once the Yankees have a lead in the 8th, it's Betances and Robertson, and so that was his only chance to use Steve Tolleson, and he knew he had Dan Johnson in his back pocket if they went to a righty.
I know what you're saying, but you got a bunch of switch hitters coming up after that, or a couple switch hitters and righties. I just personally didn't like the move. I didn't get it. You know, with a couple on, I get it.
I just
something
it,
cooking,
though.
But there's nothing cooking in that inning.
So why don't you want to get something cooking? You don't want a chance to get a 2-out.
And we needed that. Kawasaki was the last at bat. Or what if it came down where we needed that right? At
you would have had Dan Johnson. I'd rather have Dan Johnson than Munenori Kawasaki. Batting 100 times out of 100.
I don't know. I just didn't get it. But, I mean,
okay, but hopefully you got it now. I just explained it to you.
Yeah,
twice.
I get it, but I don't agree with it. But
okay.
You explained it. But anyways, and then the other thing I wanted to say was about Sanchez. I hear all these people calling in and Twitter and all these people going crazy about his 2 innings. I think people need to just calm down. I mean, if there's a trade that works out for the Jays, like you say, like Price or, man, somebody, good, somebody worth it, I say you trade Sanchez all day, because I can count tons of pitchers, you know, maybe not right now, but if I looked it up, you know, that start off great like that. You know, look at the, off the top of my head, Jesse Litch. He came out and pitched the Gem his first game. Where's he now? I mean,
very
he's
going to
get overhyped by 2 innings. But I think you should trade him.
Okay, but, and I agree with you that for the right package, you should trade him. But
yeah,
I mean,
of course. Sanchez all day, not Stroman. But Sanchez, Stroman's proven. He's winning games for us. Sanchez, it's 2 innings. You know, I'm not sold on 2 innings. I'm sorry.
Stroman's as proven as Juan Francisco was in the middle of May. I mean, he's made 10
starts. No, I know he is, but at least he's currently winning games for you. I mean, if Sanchez does that the next few weeks, maybe, you know, I'd change my opinion. But 2 innings, I mean, people are getting a little too excited over 2 innings.
Nothing wrong with people getting excited, but I think that, you know, rationally – I hope everybody realizes that that if you get a stud, I mean, we're not talking about Esteban Loaiza, but if you get a stud for Aaron Sanchez, you got to trade him. I was going to say something that was really, really profound, too. And now I'm not sure I can remember. Blue Jays lose 6-4 to the New York Yankees. Oh, right, the Sanchez-Litch comparison. I mean, that's just silly. You're talking about Aaron Sanchez as a first-round pick who throws in the high 90s and who has stuff up the wazoo. I was a big fan of Jesse Litch, but there's no comparison. There really isn't. Paul is in Etobicoke listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Blue Jays lose 6-4 to the New York Yankees. 17 straight in the Bronx, Paul.
Oh, I don't know what to say.
What are you going
to
do about it?
Well, it's been since 1990, though. The AL East was just bad in the old format. Mike, Burley and Reyes are good players, but let's face it. It's been 20 months since that trade. Has it worked out?
Of course.
Sorry?
Of course it's worked out.
Well, the payroll is 139.
Yep.
Under J.P. Ricciardi 8 years ago, it was $76 million, and that's the same around this time when Lilly and Gibbons had that fight. And you know what? People were bashing Ricciardi. Well, why does Anthopoulos get this pass?
Oh, I don't think Anthopoulos is getting a pass. I think the fans have turned on Anthopoulos huge, and I think that if this thing all falls apart, Alex Anthopoulos likely loses his job this winter. I don't think he's getting a pass at all.
Well, I don't hear the bashing. Like Ricciardi got bashed.
You
got
to listen to this show.
And on this show all the time.
Yeah, and you got to listen to this show more often if you're not hearing Alex Anthopoulos get bashed. I mean, it's not necessarily by people who know what they're talking about, but there have been a lot of people call me suggesting that he's not done the job and that he should get fired. I don't agree at all.
It was Beeston who said, we'll make the playoffs 3 times in the next 5 years.
Yes.
A couple years ago.
2 or 3 times, he said.
And you can't be 500 on a $139 million payroll.
They're not 500. They're a game behind a team that has a $200 million payroll.
That's true, but I'll give you that. But the thing is, you can't let this season get away. You can't. Because
they're a game out of a playoff spot without the four, five, and six hitters in their batting order. They are far from letting this season get away.
Well, you want to get the division. You don't want these.
Of course you want to get the division, but don't tell me that you won't take a wild card spot.
Well, I like the old format where you have, best of seven when the division was weak 24 years ago. I mean, that was you were a good team, but. I just don't know why Ricciardi was bashed all those years on this program.
I think that J.P. Ricciardi was bashed because he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Because
I think he was honest. I think he was too.
And you know what? I liked him a lot, and I loved having him on the show once a week. And I thought that for the most part, most of the things that he did with an idea towards making this team really good.
And
you know, things didn't work out.
Well, you said that he didn't sell enough at deadlines.
No, he didn't.
Accepted Bobby Kelty, the Stewart deal. That was the
right,
only time.
Right, to get Ted Lilly, which was a very good trade.
Great trade, yeah.
But he didn't sell enough at deadlines. Dump.
Well, yeah, I mean, he did good. He was frustrated because all those teams were good, Red Sox, Yankees, and Tampa drafted good players for 10 years. But
yes.
You can't have a $140 million payroll and let the season get away.
Right.
I know we're one game out, but
One game behind a team that has a $200 million payroll. So you can't make that point anymore. You just can't.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Appreciate it. Don't call me and tell me that that the season's slipping away. A, it's not. They're a game out of a playoff spot on July 25th, and they haven't had the middle of their lineup for almost 3 weeks. And they were tied with the Yankees going into tonight. So don't bring up payroll. Second highest payroll in Major League Baseball. Greg is in Niagara Falls. Greg, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, just overreacting a lot of these fans. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying they're overreacting one game out, and you're right, Mike. And I just wanted to bring up the Yankees and Burley a little. I'll be quick. Like Tabler was saying during the telecast, this has got to end. Basically losing now 17 in a row at Yankee Stadium. I mean, it's a tough park to play in, but holy man, hopefully it ends tomorrow, and I really want to see it. I was excited. I thought they had a really good shot to win tonight, and they only lost by 2 runs. I just wanted to bring up Burley. I love the guy, and honestly, I think he's great. I mean, throwing 84, all that stuff. But what do you think it is why, and I know it probably sounds like a hypothetical question, but if he can beat other good teams, why is he having so much trouble with the Yankees? And I'll just hang up and listen to you and have a good night.
Thank you, Greg. Not a hypothetical question at all. And in fact, I wrote a whole column about it. That's going to go up on sportsnet.ca once this program is over. The only conclusion I could draw was that he's allergic to pinstripes. He couldn't beat the Yankees when they had Bernie Williams. Couldn't beat the Yankees when they had Hideki Matsui. Can't beat the Yankees now. You would think that just by dumb luck, he'd have fallen into a couple of wins here and there. But he hasn't beaten the New York Yankees in over a decade. April of 2004 is Mark Burley's only win against the New York Yankees. Career ERA of 6.15 against him. Career whip of 15.78. And he's pitched for good teams. Take out the Marlins in 2012 and finish in last place because the Marlins didn't play the Yankees that year. Mark Burley's been on 4 losing teams in his career. And he's 1-12 against the Yankees in 19 starts. It is nothing more than either dumb luck, some sort of phobia of the particular clothing that the Yankees wear, or an allergy to pinstripes. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, and we're taking your phone calls, keeping an eye on the Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays. 2 out in the ninth. Jake McGee on trying to close it out. It is 6-4 there as well. Tampa Bay on top of Boston. A man on second and 2 out. And McGee is 0-2 on... show me the guy. Oh, no, it's Brock Holt. Uh-oh. Well, this game is tied. I mean, I might as well just, Brock Holt. Nobody gets Brock Holt out. So he's got a chance to tie it up with one swing of the bat. Blue Jays lose 6-4 to the New York Yankees, their 17th straight loss in the Bronx. Brock Holt struck out. Wow. You might as well just give the series to Tampa right now then. Just like the Blue Jays managed to strike out Brock Holt a couple of times yesterday. They win the series. Anybody can get Brock Holt out. I'm still in stunned disbelief. One of the greatest players in the history of Major League Baseball. Tampa Bay Rays beat the Boston Red Sox 6-4. So that means that the Rays pick up a game on the Blue Jays as well. They are now just 3.5 games back of the Blue Jays for third place in the American League East. The Jays 3.5 back of Baltimore for first place. And it's the first time the Blue Jays have been in third place, as low as third place, since May 18th, over 2 months. Ty is in Cambridge. Hello, Ty. You're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. I'm just glad after the last caller that you took a couple of minutes to talk about the game with the Rays and other things, because after you dropped that bomb about being allergic to stripes, I was blowing bubbles out of my nose.
All right.
That was good or bad timing, but anyway, something. I think there's just too much hype and blight going on about a game.
Hype and what?
Seriously, there's too much hype going on.
What was the other thing you said?
Sorry?
What was the other thing? Hypens.
Blipe.
And what?
Blipe.
Oh, okay.
I was just looking for...
Sure, it rhymes. Why not?
Yeah, okay. So,
I'm not going to ever criticize someone for making up a word and using it in a proper grammatical context.
It's just the bubbles in my nose still coming out.
Right, that must be.
So, anyhow, yeah, you know, like you said, with last caller and the caller before that, with, you know, we're just one game out of 500. This is halfway.
No. They're over 500. They're one game out of a playoff spot.
Earl, we're halfway through the season, okay? There's too much.
Two-thirds of the way.
There's too much weight being put on that because, like, let's look at it with the last couple series that we had. They won them, and they played really good. And for whatever reason, it's a shame that Burley couldn't pull it off, but maybe that's just that ugly bat that's hanging over his head. And I don't mean a swinging bat. I mean like the black bat or a witch or whatever. And he just can't pull it off for whatever reason. But these guys are going to win tomorrow. And I do believe that they will take the series. They just have to get this monkey off of their back, whatever it is. And after that, it'll be good sailing. Because when we look at May, what happened with May, it can turn around at any point in time. And they started pulling their socks, no pun intended, but they pulled their socks up with the last series by the 14-1 loss. That was a crunch. Everybody is rolling their eyes in the back of the head and going, oh, now here we go. But they pulled it off, and it was they had great pitching, and they had hitting, and I think they just got too much underneath the ball today because they did manage to get a 3-0 lead on top, and they just gave it up for whatever reason. Burley didn't help it, but he can't help himself sometimes. What do you think?
I think that a lot of what you say is right. I think that I'm expecting the same sort of reaction from people tonight as I got Monday when the Blue Jays lost 14-1 to the Red Sox, and there was much tearing of hair and rending of garments proclamations that everything's going to hell. And then the Jays came back and won the next three games. I don't know that they'll win tomorrow. They're facing a lefty, so it's going to be tough, even though Chris Capuano is really not a very good lefty. The fact that he is left-handed really puts the Blue Jays in a bind, but I certainly wouldn't put it past them. They've shown, if nothing else, that they are a resilient group, and trying to fight through the things that they're trying to fight through right now, the middle of their order is on the disabled list and has been for almost this whole month. The fact that they're only a game out of a playoff spot is not insignificant at all. But they've lost 17 in a row in the Bronx, and that is undeniable, no matter who's on or not on the disabled list. Mark in Oshawa. Hello, Mark.
Wilner, how are you?
I'm all right.
Thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate you.
No problem. You called me.
You are the most knowledgeable guy on the radio for the Blue Jays talk. You're swell. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
But I need to pick your brain. This is why I call you. I've been looking for you. Okay.
I'm easy to find.
Which guy is closest to being a Hall of Famer?
All right.
Who's available right now? Is he a Hall of Famer? Is David Price a Hall of Famer?
Not yet.
Is he going to be a Hall of Famer?
Who knows?
Okay, well, when was the last draft pick that we produced who was close to a Hall of Famer?
You know that David Price was picked first overall, right?
Perfect. Even more reason to get him, right?
This guy, there's all kinds of reasons to get him, that's for sure.
He's striking out 200 batters every year since he was 16 years old. He's the best pitcher against the American League East. That's
but here's
he
the
plays.
Thing, though, Mark. The Tampa Bay Rays won tonight, right?
Agreed.
Tampa Bay Rays are 4.5 games out of a playoff spot. You really think they're thinking about trading David Price right now?
No blipes about it.
No blipe.
No blipe about it. He's going, right? We know Tampa. Everybody knows Tampa. They do not re-sign studs for $20 million.
Right, but he's not a free agent after this year.
I understand, but
they've won eight games in a row. They're 4.5 games out of a playoff spot. they're not
angle enough parts. He's gonna go.
Gonna trade David Price in the next 6 days.
You don't think so? Well, I guess now that they won, if they were six out, you think they might?
Doesn't matter. They're not.
Okay. But two, 3 days ago they were, and this has been on my mind for 2 weeks. Like,
yeah, but this is why they've been holding on.
The question is, why are our prospects so valuable when we never manufacture any good prospects, right? Like Brett Laurie doesn't compare to, David Price's. I mean, I know it's a different position, but these are the people that we develop, right?
Again, David Price was picked first overall. When's the last time the Blue Jays picked first overall?
Well, we've had some pretty bad teams. I'm going to assume we had some top 10 picks over the last decade.
I think they've had one top 10. I don't know if they've had a top 10 pick, and they picked ninth this year. But I don't know that they...
All I'm saying is this guy's the best guy we can get. Just give him everything.
I'm telling you...
Give him everyone. Go.
Can people not hear me when I talk?
Sorry, buddy.
When I talk, you guys are supposed to stop talking because radio doesn't work when two people are talking at the same time.
It's terrible.
I don't believe that David Price is available anymore.
Okay.
So, you can make all the arguments you want as to why the Blue Jays should get him, and I will agree with every single one of your arguments because I think the Blue Jays could use him. He's awesome. They should get him. He's fantastic. But with Tampa Bay as hot as they are, making their way back into this race, I don't think they're so excited about dealing him anymore. Plain and simple. I do appreciate the call, and I appreciate the kind words. And it wasn't just you. It was like three guys in a row. This is the thing. It only works if one person talks. And since it's my show, when I talk, you have to stop. Otherwise, nobody can hear anybody. Blue Jays lose at 6-4 to the New York Yankees. They have lost 17 in a row in the Bronx. Mark Burley, one win in 19 career starts against New York and an ERA over 6. And for the first time in over 2 months, the Blue Jays are all the way down in third place in the American League East. We will continue to take your calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca, right up until 11 o'clock Eastern time. We'll let the network go at the bottom of the hour. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. If you're not on hold, I think there is one line open if you want to try to sneak in. You know the numbers. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Blue Jays fall 6-4 to the New York Yankees. Mark Burley gives up 6 runs on 9 hits in 3 innings. It's his shortest start in over 4 years. He's 1-12 against the Yankees, got an ERA over 6 lifetime in 19 starts, and the Blue Jays have lost 17 in a row in the Bronx. We will continue to take your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590 all the way until 11 o'clock Eastern time, even though we're going to let the network go at the bottom of the hour. So stick with us. If you can't hear us on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, you can dial us up on Sportsnet590.ca. Also tonight, the Baltimore Orioles are underway in Seattle. It is 0-0 in the bottom of the first. The Jays are now 3.5 games behind the Orioles for first in the East. The Tampa Bay Rays beat the Red Sox 6-4. David Price picking up the win. The Rays have won 8 straight. Don't look now. They're only 3.5 games behind the Blue Jays. Series continues tomorrow. We're on at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for a 1:10 first pitch. Drew Hutchison against the lefty Chris Capuano. You've been listening to Home Hardware, Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Brett Armstrong, and Igor Enriquez, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye.
The strike 2 pitch, swing and a miss, strike 3. The Yankees win it 6-4. That's 17 straight that they have beaten the Blue Jays here in the Bronx.
Really is amazing, isn't it? 17 straight losses in New York. I mean, they can't win on the road against the Rays. They can't win a series. They can't win a game against the Yankees in the Bronx. And that makes things kind of difficult when you're trying to be in the postseason. The Blue Jays are still only a game out of the second wild card spot, which is held now all alone by those New York Yankees. But, I mean, seriously, you got to back into a win somehow. Somehow. And it's not getting any easier as, you know, the formula for beating the Blue Jays right now is throw a lefty at them. So the Yankees went out and acquired lefty Chris Capuano, and he's going to start tomorrow against Drew Hutchison, who's had a really, really hard time over his last six starts. Only one good one in there. We'll have it for you, of course, with the pregame show starting at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for a 1:10 first pitch. But right now, we continue our Blue Jays talk at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And the Baltimore Orioles having a great road trip out west. They're through Oakland and Anaheim and now working on the Seattle Mariners and leading them 1-0 in the top of the second. Nelson Cruz with a home run off of Felix Hernandez. So things going very well for the Orioles, who right now have a 3.5 game lead on the Blue Jays, who are third in the American League East. Back to the phones we go. Ed in Etobicoke, you're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Wilner. How are you?
I continue to be well, thank you.
Oh, I forgot. I'm not supposed to ask that question.
Well, it's not that you're... And people think that I don't like being asked how I am. It's not true. It's just that, you know, the ninth time, it just kind of feel like, yeah, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I got you.
All right.
I'll remember that next time. anyway, you know, I like some one of the callers for touched on J.P. Ricciardi a few callers ago, and I don't want to just keep resurrecting the guy, but I will say I never liked the guy when from his tenure here. But I will say that I respect him for coming on your show every week and taking his lumps, unlike Alex. I'm sure you've asked Alex to come on your show and take his lumps, and he's declined. So, you know.
It should be noted that J.P. Ricciardi very rarely took any lumps on this program. I mean, he did say some spectacular things, the B.J. Ryan thing and the Adam Dunn thing. But you could kind of set your watch that Thursday through Tuesday, people would call in and talk about how much they hated J.P. Ricciardi. But on Wednesdays, they all shriveled up, and almost every phone call was, oh, it's so great that you're doing this, and you're doing such a wonderful job, and it's such an honor to talk to you. So he didn't take his lumps. But
You know,
I'll say this about Alex Anthopoulos, and yeah, I have asked him many times to do the show like J.P. did. Alex learned a lot from J.P. Ricciardi. And a lot of what he learned was what not to do. And the truth of the matter is, it's a no-win situation for a general manager to come on here on a regular basis and take phone calls from the fans. There is nothing he can do that is a positive. And so he doesn't want to do it, and I don't blame him.
Well, not to debate this. I want to get to my comment.
Sure, but go ahead.
I don't think Pat Gillick ever had a problem coming on in the glory years.
I don't remember Pat Gillick ever taking phone calls from fans.
I think he did once or twice, but you know, I could be stand corrected. So,
but if it's once or twice in you know, 18 years,
well, once or twice, maybe a month or so.
I definitely
seem to remember that, but
absolutely
anyway, I could be wrong.
He would come on with on prime time and stuff like that, and he still does, which is awesome. But no, Pat Gillick certainly did not do that.
Okay, all right, I'll take your word for it. Anyway, I want to talk to you about Aaron Sanchez.
Sure.
All right. You know, so he's the guy that the star, the dude that's up for all the trade bait.
Yep.
But I have to tell you, I never knew anything about the guy before I saw him pitch the other night.
Uh-huh.
I was all for making whatever deal, like for Price or whoever. I was all for throwing this guy into get whoever we want to get here.
Yep.
But after seeing Sanchez pitch those two innings to Boston, and I know it's only one game, but this is visions of Halliday.
Oh, he certainly has the ability to be that good. There's no question about that. And arguably, his stuff is better than Roy Halladay's was. But there are a lot of guys who have better stuff than Roy Halladay, and the overwhelming majority of them are not going to the Hall of Fame, and Roy Halladay is. And I think that's what's important to remember about Aaron Sanchez. I was just as blown away by those two innings as you were. But most pitching prospects do not work out. Most great young pitchers do not work out. The odds are so overwhelmingly stacked against him that if you can get someone who has already shown that he can be an elite level major league pitcher, you got to do it. Don't you?
I don't see that with Sanchez, though. I just
you've
guy,
seen him
like,
throw 25 pitches.
Yeah, I know he's throwing 25 pitches, and I mean we saw this, we saw a little bit of this with Hutchinson year before last, where he looked really good too. And
not like this.
No, not like this. No, I this guy's got special stuff, and I'm telling you, I'd rather that they take a step back and just play out the season for the good.
When
for
you're
the
a game better. Out of a playoff spot, a well, team that hasn't you know, made the playoffs in two decades.
You know what? I'm happy that we're actually talking about meaningful baseball heading into August, because we haven't had that since Rogers really have taken over the team.
Well before that, but yeah.
Well, I think so. That one I won't lose the argument on if you look back. But I think this guy's too valuable or too talented just based on 25 pitches. I'm willing to bet every single thing in my piggy bank.
Please don't.
No. I don't know. I just like it was just like lights out with this guy.
Yeah, it was.
They got to keep him. I wouldn't trade him for anything now. Like find somebody else to trade. But I'd want to keep this guy for the long term.
Okay.
I wouldn't give him up for Price or anybody, especially if it's a short term deal. Where you don't have control over the guy for the rest of the season or the next year or whatever. I wouldn't give this guy up. I'd keep him.
Okay.
All right.
And you're certainly entitled to that opinion and entitled to your excitement. And I don't want to take away your excitement at all. But there's a reason that there's an old saw in the game that there is no such thing as a pitching prospect because so few of them work out. I hope Aaron Sanchez does. And boy, did he look great. But if I get offered David Price for Aaron Sanchez, I'm saying yes before the other guy can hang up the phone. Milton is in Mississauga, and I will make the same joke. We've never had a Mississauga call in from Milton. But Milton, go right ahead on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. Hey. I was watching the game today, and like, you know, how come Rasmus, when they're playing him to pull and they have the shift on, how come he doesn't lay down a bunt and just walk to first?
Same reason that every other hitter in the major leagues that gets the shift played on them doesn't just lay down a bunt and walk to first. I don't know. I would do it. I would order them to do it until the shift stopped, but I'm not going to come down on Colby Rasmus for not doing it when nobody else in the world does. He did on the weekend against the Rangers, so that's something at least. But
but
he did destroy two baseballs today. And if he keeps taking swings like that, I have no problem with him taking a rip.
Yeah, but he had nothing to show for hitting.
Doesn't matter.
Well, right?
You can't control what happens once you hit a hard line drive. You just keep hitting hard line drives, and you'll be fine.
So is it the manager that is telling him to swing away, or is it why doesn't Gibby tell him that lay down a bunt? There's nobody on the right side.
Again, same reason every other hitter in the major leagues that gets shifted on doesn't do it.
Well, is it just like they're set in their ways and they're not going to change, or
I think there's an element of machismo to it. There's an element that you're seen as that it's a weak move, if you'll forgive. I'm not going to use the word that the athletes use to do that. That it's sort of cheating, and that's why Colby Lewis, you saw a scream at Rasmus, swing the bat, which I think is just beyond ridiculous. But there is that aspect to it. The other aspect to it is, and you'll hear people say within the game, look, hit a double, hit a home run, without realizing that the odds against that, again, even the great home run hitters only average one every four games or so. So they're handing you a single. You should take it. But that attitude has not become pervasive, not even remotely close to pervasive in the game yet.
Yeah. Well, I think this is on a rare occasion that you and I agree. So
hey,
that, I'll leave
that's
it at
your
that.
Fault, not mine. I'm usually right.
Have a good night.
All right, you too. Thank you for the call. Blue Jays lose 6-4 to the New York Yankees. They have lost 17 in a row in the Bronx. Dave is in Toronto. You're next on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go right ahead, sir.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for continuing this great work that you do.
I appreciate that. It's
a lot of fun. I'm out for my favorite activity, walking the dog and listening to the Blue Jays and listening to you after the game. Uma likes it, too, I can tell you that.
Thank you. Does Oprah?
So you mentioned what I guess the Oakland A's termed a market inefficiency in that failing to play against the shift. I guess that's what they call it now. Market inefficiency.
The Oakland.
Right? Billy Bean.
I mean, that's not a market inefficiency. It really doesn't have anything to do with the market.
Well,
but yeah,
it's
that's
not capitalizing on something that's given out.
Certainly is the case. Yeah. And the first team to lay down 1,000 bunts against the team that shifts them will get teams to stop shifting them, and there'll be a lot more base hits for the taking on hard hit balls.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to just add my two cents in as to maybe why there's a bit of different public opinion and treatment of AA versus JP.
Sure.
And I had a chance to meet AA at a best ever baseball clinic. He was just fresh on the job. He'd just been hired. Hadn't actually taken a seat in the office yet. And he was just a really, really nice guy. You know, he was just so open, so clear, so fresh-faced. Everything about him, you know, I was worried that he was going to get eaten alive, but I really, really liked him as a person. And anytime I heard JP, I would cringe. I just felt like that was exactly the opposite. He wasn't, it didn't seem like a nice person. I'm sure, like, you know, that was just a persona. But it was kind of the Brian Burke, Ron Wilson thing. In the hockey world, you know, just a guy that prickled and bristled, and you know, the comment about, like, you pointed out, the B.J. Ryan, Adam Dunn.
Yeah, but those were like 6, 7, 8 years into his tenure. People already hated him by then. I think people were predisposed to not liking J.P. Ricciardi. I think he came across as brash and arrogant when he first got here, and I don't think he ever really worked to change that perception of him.
Right, right.
And Alex Anthopoulos has not been that at all. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm not worried about the Blue Jays at all. I think it's a lot of fun. You know, and being in the thick of it is great, and knowing that we've got all the power bats coming back, I'm not worried. You know, even Bautista is now starting to get hot again. It's just a lot of fun. It's great. I'm not worried at all. But I will mention one thing that I am concerned about.
Sure.
And that is, so my batteries died in my little portable radio.
Oh, no.
And the reason that I called in was partly so I could listen while I was on hold.
Do you want to stay on hold for the rest of the hour?
Well, yeah, sure. And I'll get home before that. But here's the point. I'm still a BlackBerry user, you know, the great Canadian success story. And the Rogers radio app isn't available for BlackBerry 10. And it's available for Android and iPhone. So I want to get that out on the air and say, somebody, some developer, please make it available so I can listen on my BlackBerry 10 device.
Done. You got it out on the air.
All right. Thanks,
all right.
Mike.
Well done. Thanks for listening, Dave. Appreciate the call. Don't hang up on him. Let him listen for the next 15 minutes while we're on. What's on after? I haven't seen any other fan hosts. Oh, yeah? All right. No other fan hosts. We'll have Sportsnet tonight featuring CBS Radio Sports the rest of the evening. And then some stuff in the morning. And then Bennis will have Sportsnet Magazine on at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Golf show at 7. Outdoor Journal Adventure Report at 8 o'clock. And then Bennis and then us at 12:30 on the pregame show for Drew Hutchison and Chris Capuano, game 2 of 3. Blue Jays lose the opener 6-4 to the New York Yankees. Kevin is in Muskoka enjoying cottage life, are we, Kevin?
Very much, yeah. My friend tweeted you a picture of the sunset.
Yeah, I hate you guys. How much do you hate it when people say the Muskokas? Oh, it really bugs people out there.
City slickers.
Yeah, exactly. They don't know nothing nothing. What's up?
I'm as excited as anyone about the young pitching. I think it's great. It's just that I kind of came of age as a Blue Jays fan back in the days of, you know, Dave Bush, David Percy, Jesse Litch, and the crew. So, what reasons do we have to think that these guys aren't going to pan out the same?
Well, the difference is the pedigree, right? You're talking about Aaron Sanchez, who was a first-round pick who throws in the high 90s. David Percy was a safe college first-round pick. Jesse Litch, I don't even know where he was picked. He kind of jumped up and blew everybody away. And if they hadn't totally botched his shoulder surgery, he'd still be pretty good. I really like Jesse Litch. Who was the other guy you mentioned? Dave Bush. Right.
Yes.
And again, a safe college J.P. Ricciardi pick who wound up having a decent enough career in the major leagues. But yeah, but there's a very, very different pedigree with Sanchez and Stroman, I think.
So our guys have a bit of a higher ceiling?
Oh, they have a much, much higher ceiling. Will they ever attain it? Who knows? But definitely, there's a lot more stuff with these guys.
Good. It makes me feel better.
Oh, I'm glad.
Briefly, not directly related, but do you think that the next time they have the World Baseball Classic, Ernie Witt will be back managing Canada?
I see no reason why not. He's going to manage him in the Pan Am Games next year. I think the job is probably his as long as he wants it.
Sorry?
I think the job is probably his as long as he wants it.
We'll have to probably agree to disagree, but I think that collectively we need to get a bit more serious about the tournament. I mean, teams under Witt's stewardship have been eliminated by Italy, Mexico, and the U.S. each time around. Not quite in that order.
Yeah.
But
it's been eight games. I mean, you're talking about eight games, and Canada still has every year that they're in, except that the year that they played here when they lost Italy unbelievably. Every year except that year, they've had the best record of any team not to advance. I think what Canada needs in order to have a better shot at the World Baseball Classic is not to always be in the same bracket as the U.S. Because it really means that either Canada or Mexico is going to get through, and they're both pretty good. You can't blame Ernie Witt for Jeff Francis giving up six runs in the first inning against Mexico when clearly Francis was his best pitcher, and he saved him for the game that they needed to win, and he didn't pitch well. I can't blame Ernie Witt either last year for having his two best relief pitchers ready to work the eighth and ninth and going into the eighth against the U.S. with the lead and having Jim Henderson and John Axford not being able to hold on to it. That's not Ernie Witt's fault.
I mean, we spoke about this at spring training probably 5 or 6 years ago, and we agreed to disagree. But I think that in that elimination game against Italy in 2009, Ernie didn't do nearly enough to put pressure on the other team. I mean, they walked.
Yeah, he shouldn't have started Vince Perkins in that game. That's for sure.
Right.
But again, you should have been able to throw anybody at Italy, and that's a game that you're going to win 97 times out of 100, and they didn't win.
I just think, I guess the point I make is I sense that collectively we kind of have this Pollyanna attitude about the tournament. We think it's kind of cute that we're able to compete with the Americans and the Mexicans, and there's not that seriousness about we need to expect to win in the vein that the Brazilians or the Germans do in the World Cup.
I think that may be the case among the fans. I promise you that is not the case, Baseball Canada. And I certainly don't see it that way either.
Okay, so Greg Hamilton is they wake up and they go to bed thinking about how we're going to get to that next round.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they got a lot of stuff on their plate with the junior team and senior team and all that stuff. Greg Hamilton does a phenomenal job. Yeah, but don't think for a second that they don't take the World Baseball Classic seriously and they're not as furious as you and I and the rest of the people who take this thing seriously are that Canada has not been able to advance yet. Definitely. And I don't think Ernie Witt is, you know, they're doing him a favor by giving him the job or anything like that. I think they think he's the best guy that they've got for the job. Nice to get a little Baseball Canada chat going in Blue Jays talk. I did not expect that, but I like that. That Canada-U.S. game at Rogers Centre, still the best that building has ever been since the 1993 World Series. That chills just thinking about it. And I got to call that game. That was unbelievable. David is in Brampton. You're on Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. Last night we were actually having a talk about if it comes on to a one-game series between Burley and Stroman, who would, you know, would you want to actually pitch that one, in that one pressure game. I feel today Burley, you know, had his chance and his opportunity anyways, I mean, to make a statement, and he just didn't seem to have it today.
No, he certainly didn't.
Go ahead.
I was saying, I'm agreeing with you. He certainly did not have it today.
And it's still not a panic yet anyways. I mean, we're only a few games out.
A game out of a playoff spot.
Sorry?
A game out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, out of the wild card. I mean, and we're still looking at, I think, Laurie is coming back next week, or hopefully, you know, be able to get some bat back in there again too. And, you know, definitely make a run for it down the stretch here. And I guess we'd have to wait and see until the trade deadline, you know. But every day hearing everyone panicking, you know, those who are on the bandwagon, they jump off and just not having faith in the team. And, you know, things will, I think it's good that we had all those injuries happen at the point that they did anyways, and now we can finish strong. And that's all we're hoping for as a fan right now, to see, you know, a good rundown and be able to see some part of October at least.
That would be swell. It would. I don't think it's good that the injuries happened when they did, but I think what you mean is it's good they didn't happen later, and you're absolutely right. Brett Laurie is going to be the last of the Blue Jays to come back. Nolan Reimold is likely to be first. He could come back anytime the next couple of days. Edwin Encarnacion and Adam Lind found out today that they may be back in Boston, and if not, almost definitely back on July 31st against the Astros. And Brett Laurie will probably be another week after that. And it is great that they're all coming back, and that the Blue Jays are still so close right now, despite not having the middle of the order. Kelly's in Toronto. Hello, Kelly.
Good evening, Michael.
Good evening.
Forever time, first time.
All right.
And
time.
I just wanted to chime in on this young pitching talent up for grabs in a trade, and you seem to be on board with that.
Sure.
I've been listening the last couple of nights, and I finally can't take it anymore. you had a caller a night or two ago ask you to compare the Jays to maybe the 80s or 90s Braves, and you answered. He asked you what made the Braves work, and your answer was?
Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz.
There you go. So now, did the Braves develop those three pitchers?
They signed Maddox as a free agent. They traded for Smoltz, but they did draft Glavin after the Los Angeles Kings drafted him, believe it or not.
Okay, so your assertion there, and correctly so, by the way, in my opinion, is that that team revolved around those three studs, agreed?
Sure.
And would you agree that we probably have those three type studs in the form of those young pitchers right now?
No.
Or a chance? You don't believe that?
There's a chance, sure. But Greg Maddux, Tom Glavin, and John Smoltz are all Hall of Famers.
Agreed. But they have to start somewhere.
Yes,
you
they do.
You're not going to be 22 years old and have a Hall of Famer and just instantly discount them.
Oh, no, absolutely. But you don't know that, like, you have them, right?
At one point, Bro Halladay was 22.
Yep.
And so these kids are
And the
are
Blue
young,
Jays didn't win a thing with Roy Halladay.
These are the I've seen in 25 years.
No, they're not.
Okay, from the Jays, these are not the best collection of three pitchers the Jays have had in the minor leagues in 20, 25 years?
Roy Halladay, Chris Carpenter, Kelvin Escobar. Remember how everyone was raving about them? And Halladay wound up being a Hall of Famer. Carpenter wound up being a Cy Young Award winner. Kelvin was Kelvin. But,
and
yeah, these are the things that happened.
And how long ago was that?
Mid-90s?
Mid-90s, so we're talking...
20 years?
20 years?
Sure.
So these are the best three pitchers, young pitching talent we've had in 20 years, and you want to deal them?
I don't want to deal them. I want to deal them if you can get a legit superstar back. I'm not saying trade Aaron Sanchez for a bucket of magic beans or for Esteban Loaiza or for a middle of the rotation guy who can, you know, just kind of help you a little bit.
And the other part of this is if you want to deal one of these three potential studs or even four, if you want to throw the young Nolan kid into the mix.
Daniel Norris would be well ahead of Nolan. So would
Roberto Lucena. So even more to my point then. So you even bring in more young talent into the picture.
Yep.
I don't believe this team is one David Price away from winning the World Series.
Okay.
I think you've got far bigger problems than that. I think you've got a second baseman that shouldn't be in the major leagues. You've got a center fielder hitting, 200, 215, something like that?
Yep.
And you expect that guy to carry to the World Series or be a part of it?
You're a game out of a playoff spot. You're a game out of a playoff spot. And I'm sorry, we're out of time, so I had to cut you off. But you're a game out of a playoff spot. And once you get there, one of the Blue Jays' World Series MVPs was a terrible hitter who had an on-base under 300. But he was a World Series MVP because he got hot for a week and a half. And playoffs being what they are, best of five and then best of seven, it doesn't matter which team is better. All you got to do is get there. Really is. All you got to do is get there. Nobody think for a second that I'm advocating trading Aaron Sanchez for just anything. But if you can get somebody who's a real something, who Sanchez just has a chance at being, you absolutely have to do that. Blue Jays lose to the Yankees. We're back at 12:30 tomorrow. Thanks to you all. We'll talk to you then.